Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
We do begin our Lenten sermon series today. And Lent is a season where we take time to be introspective and to reflect on our humanity, on our own sin, to offer repentance to our God, and then to live into what it means to receive God's grace as we prepare to travel together through Holy Week and then eventually to celebrate the great news of the resurrection on Easter Sunday. So we are having a series this Lent called Everyday Jesus. And what this is really about how we bring our spirituality to bear in our daily living. I think often in Lent we talk about bringing up spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices that are the sort of rituals and rites of our faith. We think about things like prayer and fasting. What are you giving up for Lent? We think about things like reading scripture more. I'm attending worship every Sunday of Lent. Those are all good ways and great ways to observe Lent and to stay connected to our faith. But we also want to talk about how do we bring our faith to bear in our everyday lives? What are some things that we can practice outside of Sundays, outside of our holding our Bibles on our own? How can we be these people in the world? And so that's what we're going to journey through together through the Lenten season. And today's sermon will talk about the practice of getting lost as we study together in the scripture of Jesus's temptation in the Gospel of Matthew. So as we prepare to hear a message from God's word this morning, I invite you to pray with me. Almighty God, we give thanks for your word that is Jesus the Christ. We give thanks for our scriptures that draw us nearer to you. We give thanks for your Holy Spirit which speaks to us through them. And God, we pray that our eyes, ears, hearts, minds would be open to hear the message that you've crafted for each of us this morning. God, I pray that these words would be your words. This message is a demonstration of your Spirit's power and nothing of my own. It's in the name of Christ I pray. Amen. So if you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, you want to open up to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 1. If you do not have one with you, the words will be on the screen behind me. So let us see what happens when Jesus gets lost. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God," or we could translate it, "since you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. After all, it's you. You can do that, right?" But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And so our Jesus responds to the tempter first with scripture. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If or since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And now the devil quotes scripture to Jesus. "Since you are the Son of God, claim your place at the top of the religious movement. Claim your power and your status." And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus stays grounded, gives him scripture right back. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." So, Jesus, unwilling to prove to the devil who he is, though knowing exactly his place, as Son of God. The devil says, I'll take a different approach. How about I'll give you all the things of the world? All the things you could ever desire, all the power and status you could ever need, I'll give that to you. You just have to give me this one little thing. Quit worshiping your God and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Again, Jesus responds, grounded in his scriptures and in his relationship with our God. And then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. And we can assume that waited on him meant gave him the food he would need and worshiped him, giving him his rightful place in status and power. So Jesus goes into the wilderness, gets lost, if you will, in a way that echoes Israel lost in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus is lost in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And so he encounters temptation. And this isn't just about a moral checklist of things to do or not to do. You see, what's happening here is Jesus came to continue establishing the kingdom of God on earth. And the devil, the tempter, the Satan says, no, look, this is a better kingdom. Let's do it this way. You can have food, you can have power, you can have status, you can have wealth. Isn't that the thing to seek? This is the real kingdom. And Jesus, secure in who he is, knowing the mission he brings as the incarnate God, says, no, I'm going to stay true to the kingdom I know I have come to seek. The kingdom I know I have come to establish, to the kingdom that I want others to seek with me. So temptation looks good on the surface, just like we talked about with the fall in Genesis 3. It is food after fasting. It is Jesus at the head of religion. It is power and money and wealth that would help him to do whatever he wanted to do as a human being on earth. But underneath it would mean to abandon who he is, to lose sight of what it means to worship the one true God, to lose sight of what it means to continue establishing a different kingdom on earth, a kingdom that doesn't seek after power and status and money and wealth, but rather one that seeks love of God and love of neighbor. And so this is what's happening in the Gospel of Matthew in Jesus' temptation. He goes out lost in the wilderness, and yet he stays true, seeking the kingdom he knows he has come to find, trusting his place as the Son of God on earth. You know, so what's our reaction when we realize that going out in the wilderness may mean being tempted? It may mean being encountered by the evil forces of the world, by other people's sin, by our own sin, and all this temptation to seek this other kingdom, this other way of living. What do we want to do knowing that? I find for myself and for many people as I watch around me in the church, we want to bubble up. I'm not going to the wilderness. I'm not going out there where I can be tempted. No, no, no. I'm going to stay in. I'm going to surround myself with my church family. I'm going to focus on what's going on here in this building, in this body. I'm going to make sure that the other people I'm friends with, that the people I encounter on a day-to-day basis, I'm going to make sure they all think like me, that they too are seeking the kingdom of God, that they too are focused on these good things, loving God and loving neighbor, because then I won't be tempted. I know for me, it seems a lot easier to exist in the world if I can stay around people who are seeking the same thing I am. They help hold me accountable. They help keep me focused. They don't tempt me as often as others might. So we bubble up. And yet, when our God looked at the state of the world and knew that God's kingdom was not being sought, did God bubble up? No. God came down as one of us and entered right into the mess of the wilderness. God became incarnate in a baby in a manger, grew into a grown man, a human being, with all the same challenges that we have as human beings. That man went into the wilderness and fasted, seeking the kingdom that was to come, staying true and focused to what he was there for and to who he was, even as he was tempted. We are called to be in the mess as Christians. We may want to bubble up, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to take the news of the kingdom into the world, to get into the mess, for that is exactly what our God has already done for us. You know, I love reading Brené Brown, and I've used her stuff before, and so I'm going to repeat something I've said before. She talks about braving the wilderness in her most recent book. She talks about belonging, being ourselves in the world, and she talks about it from the sense of having a soft front and a strong back. I think this was what Jesus showed us in the wilderness. A soft front, meaning I know how to be vulnerable. I know how to express my true feelings. I know how to reveal weakness. Jesus fasted. I know how to acknowledge my need. I learned to apologize, to reconcile with people, to realize that maybe sometimes I don't have it all correct. Soft front, vulnerable, really being open and sharing who we actually are, but not without a strong back. Because to journey out into the wilderness, to get lost, to face temptation with only a soft front and not a strong back, that's dangerous. But a strong back means I stand up for what I believe in, for myself and for other people. It means I stay true to seeking God's kingdom. It's Jesus quoting scripture right back to the devil. Strong back. Soft front. This is our call to be out in the mess. Not to bubble up. Not to only surround ourselves with church people. But to be out in the world. Soft front. Strong back. I wonder how many unchurched people we have had conversations with in the last week or even month or even the last year. I think it can be really easy for us to bubble up and to surround ourselves with people who are already on the journey. And yet to do that is to move out of line of the very thing that Jesus shows us, which is to actually enter into the mess of the world and offer a different way. A way of loving God and loving neighbor that brings about a strong back. We only get there with a soft front. Have any of you ever been lost as a kid or an adult? So I can remember being lost as a kid once. I was in a store with my cousin. It's all her fault. We got lost. We had to go to the front, to the customer service, and tell them we didn't know where our moms were, and they had to call them over the loudspeaker. And like any good parent, my mother was mortified. I remember being really scared for a moment. Like, all of my safety was gone. What would I do if I never found my mother again? Do you know how big like a Walmart is to somebody who's six? Oh, I remember what that's like. Then I remember not too long ago, I was officiating a wedding in downtown Dallas, and I don't drive down there very often, and my GPS lady was trying to get me to the parking lot where I was supposed to park, but she kept telling me the directions about 3 seconds too late. Turn left, I can't. Turn left, I can't. I drove all around downtown trying to figure out how to get to where I was going, and it felt uncertain. I didn't feel totally helpless because I had a GPS that was kind of giving me directions, but I just wasn't familiar with where I was. And that made it harder, trying to navigate driving on roads that I'm not sure about, one ways, lots of pedestrians. I'm not used to that in the suburbs. So it made me feel uncertain. How many of you have ever been the parent of a lost kid? Yes. That's a whole next level fear. One of my sweet babies got lost for about 5 minutes while we were in Disney World a couple of years ago, and I entered into a state of panic I cannot describe. It's terrifying when somebody we love, that we're in charge of caring for, gets lost. I know that it's scary to be lost, and it's uncertain, and sometimes it even creates panic. I know that in the Christian world, how do we define people who have not yet found relationship with Jesus? We call them lost. Amazing grace. I once was lost. Now I'm found. So this word can kind of have a lot of connotation of fear and scary and not yet on the journey. But I want to reframe that for us this morning. To say that sometimes getting lost, sometimes entering into the vulnerable space, sometimes entering into the scary place that even maybe makes our heart beat a little bit too fast, can be the place where God does God's most transformational work. When I look back over the lifetime of my faith journey, I can think of the places where I feel like I had the most growth or the biggest aha moments, and they're almost always at the point where you might have looked at me and gone, I think you were a little lost. But remember, we go out into the wilderness to get lost, to enter into being vulnerable with soft fronts and strong backs. Because we know who we are. We are God's people. We are helping by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit to continue bringing about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the world, but the kingdom of God here on earth. So I wonder what it would look like for us to get lost as Christians in the wilderness of the world. Where is it that the Holy Spirit is calling you this morning to go and be vulnerable? What scary place or uncertain place or challenging place is God calling you to go and to witness to God's kingdom in the world? Maybe it's in a serving capacity. Maybe it's jumping over the hurdles of fear to go and help build homes for homeless people in Juarez, Mexico with Proyecto Abrigo. Maybe it's jumping over the fear of entering into homes of people right here in McKinney with Bed Start Ministry, bringing furniture to people who are just coming out of homelessness. Maybe it's there that the Holy Spirit is calling you to get out of the bubble and to meet perhaps even some unchurched people, and always to witness to this new kingdom that God has established. Love of God, love of neighbor. Oh, maybe it's soft front kind of vulnerability. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is calling you to reconcile with someone, to make apology, to say, maybe I was wrong. To renew a relationship. I wonder if maybe that's the wilderness you're being called to. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is calling your soft front and strong back to be a witness to where you see God working in someone else's life, whether that's a friend or a coworker or a neighbor. whether they recognize God at work or not, for you to say, look, I see God doing beautiful things right here in our midst. That requires a kind of bravery and boldness that gets us out of our bubble. Maybe the soft front and strong back you're being called to is to admit your own weakness. Maybe to go to an AA meeting. Or if you're already on your sober journey, to invite someone you see around you to go with you. Maybe it's about owning the soft front out in the world. Staying rooted in our strong backs. We know who we are as God's people. Maybe that's what it means to get lost. To experience everyday Jesus kind of spirituality. To carry this message into the scary and uncertain parts of our lives. But here's the good news we cannot forget. At the beginning of the passage, it says the Spirit is with Jesus. The Spirit is with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is with us too. At our baptisms, we are initiated into the church. The Holy Spirit is emboldened in our lives, and we get to walk with the power of God in this. We are not alone. Friends, when we journey into the wilderness, when we are confronted with the temptation of the world's kingdom, we have got the power and grace of the Holy Spirit standing right behind us, holding up that strong back and saying, you, my people, will bring about my kingdom. What a beautiful, beautiful truth. Like Jesus, we get the Spirit in the wilderness too. Friends, I wonder, if we carry this witness in the world, if this Lenten season we are intentional about getting lost, entering into the mess of the world, answering the call of the Holy Spirit to take us into a vulnerable place, well, I wonder if we commit to being lost, who among us might get found? Oh, I once was lost. But now I'm found. That's our refrain. Who out there in the world needs it to be theirs? Who out there in the world needs our soft fronts and strong backs to come and bring them the good news that they too can be found? I know getting lost sounds scary. But when we step into that with the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit right there with us, we too can stay focused on who we are, God's people, and what we're seeking, God's kingdom. And we will help others to be found. Would you pray with me? Holy and Almighty God, we give thanks this morning for your willingness to come into the world as one of us. For your willingness to step into the mess, to offer yourself in the ultimate vulnerability, God. So much so that you would come and die on a cross and resurrect out of a tomb. Oh, Jesus. May we be willing to get lost for you. God, may we be willing to get lost in the wilderness, emboldened by the Spirit, so that others might come to find you, so that your kingdom might begin to outpace the kingdom of the world in our lives and in the lives of those around us. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of us this morning and call us to that place where our soft fronts and strong backs can help us to witness to your kingdom in the world so that others might find their own soft fronts and strong backs too. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.